off. Nothing more embarrassing than the phone going off in the middle of service, especially when you're up preaching. I'm not saying that's ever happened more than a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Usually, Christy will make sure that my phone's off. And I'll say this again, thank God for a helpmate, amen. Because if not, my phone would be going off all the time. Do pray for our daughter, Nora. She's got a little upper respiratory thing going on. They stayed at the home church this morning. She was up all night, and since I'm going to be here all day, it's just easier for her to go home. There were so many disappointed faces when I walked in for Sunday school, and they were looking around for Nora and Christy and Landon, and yes, it's only me here, I'm sorry, but I know I know they're loved, because even the pastor this morning, and I'll stop rambling in just a second, but even the pastor last night when I told him that I was going to be preaching here, he said, well, okay, well, that's good, and I included, don't worry, Christy and the kids will be there, and she goes, well, they're the only ones that really matter. So, and I know it's true. I mean, I'm blessed beyond measure, and I'm thankful to be here this morning, and what a blessing it is that the Lord would allow us to have another Sunday together. Of course, we know that tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day, but actually May 30th was the day set aside for Memorial Day. I believe it was 1868. I could be wrong on my dates a little bit. I was telling them this morning that there was a petition that went out for, it was a fake petition to see how many people would sign an agreement to eliminate Memorial Day. Because they said that it's not good to celebrate past wars. And I began to think that we're not just celebrating past wars, we're celebrating those who have laid their lives down for us. We're celebrating those who have given it all. And I'm thankful for those who have laid down their lives for me, that I can stand up here and still preach the gospel and not have to worry about the government or some regime coming in to tell me to stop and throw me in prison. And that, you know, that may be a possibility one day. But I'm also thankful to know that the greatest sacrifice was given to us some 2,000 years ago, that gave me the liberty to stand up here and to preach his gospel. So this morning I want to preach on this thought: every day is Memorial Day. Every day is Memorial Day. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. We will read but one verse, a very familiar verse, one verse that's no doubt quoted by many different preachers this morning, if God had given them the liberty to do so. But John chapter number 15 and verse 13. Once you find your spot, we're going to read just one verse. We'll pray and then we'll get into the preaching. John chapter number 15, verses 13. So stand with us, if you will, for the reading and the reverence of the Word of God. Refresh yourselves, but for a moment. Greater love. Now focus on that word love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Father God, I thank you for the day that you've given us. The ones that are here, Lord, that could not wait to get into your house, Lord. Father, I thank you for the Sunday school this morning. Lord, I pray that you would touch each and every one here. Father, I thank you for the sacrifice that you gave for us in giving us your Son. Lord, I just ask that you would go with us. Help us, Lord God. Clean us up that we may be able to preach your word, Father, Lord. But above all, Lord God, I pray that if there be one lost this morning, may they realize that, God, this is not just some passing fad, that, Lord God, we're not just preaching for our glory or to make someone feel good, but Lord, we're here to deliver your word. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done for us, and I ask that you would just go with us in your Son's sweet and heavenly name. And amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said, this verse is no doubt quoted very often. Me being a firefighter, and my brother is a police officer, and we have relatives who've served in the military. I myself served for a brief time, and you would always see this quoted on the back of shirts or perhaps on the side of a vehicle. And it's true, those who have laid down their lives for their family and for their friends and their country, it's a blessing. But here's the thing, is that great sacrifice cannot be given in just one day. You can't sum up the men and women who have laid down their lives for this country in one day. And to be honest with you, I think that would be disrespectful to their memory. I believe that every day should be a memorial day in remembering the freedoms that we have in this great country. And yes, this is God's country. I don't care what the news is saying. I don't care what the politicians are saying. We have been a blessed country, have we not? God has taken care of us. And now there's not so many here as there might be in some charismatic gathering, but I'm thankful for those who are here this morning who truly want to hear the Word of God, because that's a great freedom and a great blessing. But I've also want to remind you that not just Sunday can be summed up in thanking the Lord for what He has done for us. I mean, you got to remember that He bore it all on the cross of Calvary for you and me, that we could be able to come here and say that hell will not be our home. If you're here and saved and you've repented of your sins and you've became that new creature the Bible has talked about, and if you truly believe in John 3:16, if you know you'll have everlasting life, what a blessing it is to know that we don't just have to gather together here in Greenfield, or if I go up in Muncie, or if I go down to Kentucky to preach somewhere. What a blessing is it to know that we can get together whenever we want with Him in memorial of Him and just say thank you. We have a Father who gave His Son that we might not perish but have everlasting life. All too often we preach the verses of John 3:16 and it gets almost monotonous, it gets repetitive to the point where we're complacent with it. But what a great and mighty way that God showed us throughout His Word the love that He has for us. And I believe this today wholeheartedly, not just on May 30th, but tomorrow as well, and every day after, and every day before. We have to remember who He is. Not just who He was, but who He is. My Savior lives. My God is alive. He's not dead. You can't find Him, you can't go to the tomb where He was laid, because He has risen. He is not reincarnated. You don't have to go and speak to someone else, to go and tell someone else, to ask for permission to go and speak to God. There's no repetitive chant. There's no systematic dialogue. We can go to Him whenever we want. But I believe that this morning would be a great time to remember who He is. So as I said, every day should be Memorial Day. So today is Memorial Day. And which brings me to my first point is this, is that in this Memorial Day, we must remember His sacrifice. We must remember His sacrifice. Now, look with me again real quick where it says, "Greater love hath no man than this." Now, I want us to remember that in His sacrifice, it was voluntary. It was voluntary. Jesus Christ was not drafted to go and die for us. There was only one who could go to the cross of Calvary. There was only one who could spill His blood, a perfect blood. There was only one who could clean up this old flesh and make it anew, and that was Jesus. I will tell you this, is that it was voluntary. He was willing to lay down His life for you and me. John 10:18 says this, "No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down." Now, here's the thing. I have power to lay down my own life, but it won't get you anywhere. If I was to carry a cross up Golgotha's Hill this day, it wouldn't get you anywhere. You ask, why is that? Because I am of sinful flesh. I am a sinner saved by grace. I mess up a whole lot. And I mean a whole lot. Let me say it one more time, men, a whole lot. But what the wonderful thing about this is that he didn't just do it because. Now, yes, it was voluntary. But this Christ Jesus, who left the portals of glory, who left a throne on high, who left a home in heaven, who left his Father, came down, we know born of a virgin, we know for 33 plus years, come on, we say this after every service, we know what he did for us, but it was intended for it to happen. He was willing to do it. I love my little boy. Brother Allen, you love your son. My little boy for you.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. In fact, I'm not sorry because he's mine.
Right.
But even so, here's the thing. It wouldn't do you any good.
Amen.
But a love that a father has for his child. Think about the love that he had for us.
Amen.
Bible says that it was his begotten son. That means he came from him. He was beloved. That means to hold to a high self-esteem, a high love, that a love that you can't compare anything else to. He willingly gave his son for us. It was voluntary. But I want you to also look at this. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. Real quick, turn with me to Isaiah 53. 5 and 6, we know the scripture, we know the verse. But 5 and 6 says this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As I said this, it was voluntary, and it was intended for us. So many who don't believe him use his name as a byword. They will curse his name. They will try every aspect to remove him. But here's the thing. As long as we remember who he is, as long as we remember what he's done for us, as long as we go out and tell them about how he took our iniquity and how he took our chastisement, how he took our beating, how he took our sin upon him, there is no removal of him. But here's the thing, church. We must remember that it's voluntary for us too. Isn't that unfortunate to say the least, is that it's voluntary for us. He cannot make us go out. But that's what love is.
Right.
Is that he's not going to force us to go out. But we must remember that the love that he has for us is voluntary. To go and lay down his life. How many people today are sitting in a speedway track? I think it's like a 135,000, they opened up 40%, something like that. No doubt men and women who are professing to be Christians. And I'm not going against sports. I love sports. But here's the thing. When it's the Lord's day, it's the Lord's day.
Amen. That's right.
That's the ultimate thing right there. When it's the Lord's day, it's his day. It's a day to celebrate him. It's a day to honor him. Now, like I said, every day should be Memorial Day, but this is the day that was set aside for him, that we get together and that we fellowship in his name. So we understand it was voluntary. We understand that it was for us, but I want us to remember this, and please, Don't think that I'm trying to beat anybody down. Don't think I'm trying to hurt anyone's feelings. But we must remember what he did for us. In the sense this is that not only was it voluntary, but it was violent. And a lot of us have troubles even thinking about what he went through. And we can say that he laid down his life for us and just leave it there and not insinuate what he actually went through. I was doing a study and I read where one man said that Christ felt no pain. And he didn't know actually that, or he said that God took away his pain with every lashing and every beating. And brother, thank you for shaking your head, because that's absolutely not what happened.
Right.
He felt every lash.
Right.
He felt every stripe.
Right.
He felt every hair being plucked from his beard.
Right.
He, when they scourged him, when they struck him, when they beat him, he felt every ounce of pain.
Right.
If not, I believe this was intensified, because every time he was smoked, he took the hit for every single man, woman, boy, and girl that would walk the face of this earth.
Right.
But we almost forget about what he done, what he did for us. I mean, look real quick. We see here that he was rejected. We see here that he was betrayed by Judas, one who gave him the kiss of betrayal. We see the beating in the temple by the guards. We see the scourging, the mocking, the denial, the embarrassment, the crucifixion. But you know what the wonderful thing about it is that we see the victory in this also.
Right.
We see the victory in this also. Because yet while he did this, the plan that God had set up was unfolding. Because he knew on that third appointed day that he would rise for us. He would sit at the right hand of the Father for us, making intercession for us. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. And he's coming back for us. Yes, it was voluntary. But he did it for us. Yes, it was vicious, but he did it for us. And it was violent, but he did it for us.
Right.
You see, the point that I'm trying to get at is that if he does it for us and we remember what he did for us,
right,
we must remember we must do it for him.
Right.
We don't pass out gospel tracts just to get people to come to Victory Independent Baptist Church. We pass out those gospel tracts so that they might know that there's a Savior in heaven that wants to save them.
Right.
So we must remember his sacrifice. But I'll tell you this, and I was almost so in depth with this next point that I wasn't going to have a third point. But I began to study on this, and not only must we remember his sacrifice, but we remember him through his scriptures, through his statutes, through his precepts that he set before us. Ultimately, we remember who he is through his word. This is the greatest gift outside of salvation that our Father has given us. This blessed book that he has given us, these 66 books bound together, is our roadmap. It's our defense. It's our guide. I get strength from this.
Right.
It tells me what I must do.
Right.
It reminds me what we shouldn't do.
Right.
And it reminds us also that when we fail, who we can go to.
Amen.
In the scriptures, we are reminded of these three things. First of all, we are reminded of his love. Listen, not only are we reminded of his love, but we're reminded that it's everlasting.
Right.
Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You ask me why Christ went to the cross for us. Love. Remember this verse. Greater love hath no man. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. He told us what we must do to be his friend. We must acknowledge him. What I mean by that is we must proclaim him. We must realize who he is. Hey, Jesus Christ is God, by the way. Anybody else who wants to argue with that, just wait. Wait till after service. Because I'll tell you this, is that there is a wonderful amount of disregard where people will tell you that he's not God. But ask someone, and they'll take you through the book. Better yet, they'll tell you about the change that happened in their life. We all have a testimony. Now, if we were all to tell each other's testimonies and get into depth, we'd be here probably until next Memorial Day. Because there is no scratching the surface when it comes to telling about how good Jesus has been to each and every one of us. So we see the love that he's given us. But not only that, we've seen the life that he's given us. I want you to remember that every time Jesus passed by someone in the scriptures, something happened. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the deaf could hear. You talk about that young rich ruler, well, guess what? A seed was planted. Scripture was written down. And we know that, hey, worldly possessions are far beyond the least compared to Jesus Christ. We understand here in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 states this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But we see here also in the 17th verse, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But hey, it doesn't mean that the world doesn't remember who you are. Or rather, who you were. And they'll try to bring it up. And they'll try to remind you, hey, do you not remember what you did all those years ago? Do you not remember what you said or what you did? Pretty soon they start trying to beat you down. But then you remember that first they beat him down. But he didn't give in. But not only do we see through the scriptures his love and his life, but we see his lessons. God has not hidden the truth from us. He's not held back. Trust me, the one person greater than all did not hold back. You want me to tell you how he didn't hold back? He didn't look at me and say, you've done too much, I can't save you. He didn't tell you, you've went too far, I can't save you. Don't look like much, but trust me, I'm sure we've all messed up. Even after salvation, I'm sure we all fall short of the glory of God. Remember, he wrote unto us and said, I write unto you that you sin not, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. This man, Christ Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. The greatest lessons that we can learn are not on social media. The greatest lessons that we can learn are not on the news outlets. I'm not just talking about CNN. I'll also say this on Fox News. Right. The greatest lessons we learn are in His Word and His directions and what He's given us. John 14 and 9 states this, Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long time with you, and ye hast thou not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then showest the Father. He hasn't held back the Father from us. In fact, Job talked about that day's man that was betwixt us, how, you know, there was no one to link the man and God. When he went to the cross, that's exactly what he did. And I'll leave you with this final point. Not only do we need to remember the sacrifice that he gave us, not only do we need to remember his scripture, but church, we need to remember the salvation that he has given us. It's amazing. I was looking at the drop screen, and in the verse that was underneath was Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nowhere else can you go to get saved. There's no amount of trying to be a better person. There's no amount of leaves that you can turn over. There's no amount of maybe just one more chances or trying to get a self-help and wealth book. I don't know if everybody says books, but I've never looked at one. But I mean, there's a lot of people today who are peddling all these false advertisements of trying to get your way into heaven. But there is only one name that can get you into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's right, buddy. Amen. There's only one way. In fact, he is the only way.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
I love the fact that the truth, the way, the truth, and the life are also his name.
Right.
Talk about how he's a lamp that lighteth our path. He's that one who established our goings and set us on the solid rock. And when you look at all that, we must remember that everything we do, everything we accomplish, everything that's given to us comes from him.
Right.
And in fact, I'm almost done. We must remember that it's all about him. And it was given through him and for us by him. And we look at it and we think that, hey, here's the thing, is that no matter what, he's going to forgive us anyway. But we must remember also is that we are wasting time. We are wasting time to tell others about his sacrifice. That we're wasting time to tell others about the scriptures that have been given to us. We're wasting time reminding people that there is a Savior who freely gives salvation. Now, it wasn't free from him, for him. Those soldiers that laid down their lives, it wasn't free for them. They gave it all. And not to diminish anything that they'd done, but he gave so much more. We look at it and we think that this is just a passing thing. That this is just an old religion that soon will be dwindled out. So many are removing denomination and name after name, and they're removing the title church, and they're saying worship center or fellowship or just a community center. They're not even acknowledging that they're a church anymore. They're forgetting the old path. They're forgetting the old ways. Now, here's the thing. I was not raised in church. We know this. I did not get saved until I was 21. I have a lost mother. We just buried my dad and I pray that this isn't the case, for all intents and purposes, was lost back in March. So when I talk about the old ways, the thing is that I'm a first-generation Christian in my family. It starts with me. It may start with you. But here's the thing. Is that, yes, we have been branched and grafted into the family of God. But there's one vine. And we can't bear fruit without that vine. We can't tell them about the sacrifice, about the scriptures, and about his salvation without him. So I'll end you with this. Remember, everything we do, everything we say, everything we're about needs to be because of him. Brother, I'm done.